You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, April 19, 2022. Turn. Biden turns to E15 as next tool to keep gasoline prices under control. Published by Jason Lindquist. It's no secret that higher gasoline prices are a problem for a lot of folks, including everyday drivers, businesses, and, maybe especially, the politicians who hear the complaints from the first two. Although prices at the pump have been trending higher for some time, they've really come to the forefront in the past several weeks following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which has stressed global energy markets and sent U.S. officials looking for any and all options to keep a lid on prices. In today's RBN blog, we look at President Biden's decision to allow the sale of E15 gasoline during the summer months, whether it's likely to provide U.S. drivers significant relief from high prices this summer, and how global pressures are moving ethanol prices higher too. We've written a lot in recent weeks about the swift upward movement in global energy prices and their effects. We put those price increases in some historical context and comfortably numb, looked at how the International Energy Agency, or IEA, is trying to address the oil market turmoil and road to nowhere, examined what U.S. refineries have been importing from Russia and we're not going to take it, showed why U.S. E&Ps have been slow to ramp up oil production in the I Can't Go For That series, and illustrated how rising gasoline prices are making electric vehicles, or EVs, more cost competitive in one shining moment. Crude oil prices have been on a steady rise over the last year as the economy recovers from the pandemic-induced recession of 2020. U.S. benchmark WTI settled April 19 at $102.56 per barrel, down from its recent high mark of $123.70 per barrel on March 8, which was set not long after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But prices have been steadily climbing for more than a year, rising from $47.62 per barrel on the first day of trading in 2021 and $76.08 per barrel on the first day of trading in 2022. Gasoline prices have followed suit. The U.S. average was $4.101 per gallon on April 19, up more than 40% from a year earlier. The Biden administration has been very vocal in recent months about wanting to rein in crude oil and gasoline prices, hoping to keep the country's economic recovery from stalling out. The U.S. economy grew by 5.7% in 2021, the highest rate since 1984 after shrinking by 3.4% in 2020, according to the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis. In addition to putting a bigger burden on drivers, the higher gasoline prices are also a significant contributor to rising inflation, which hit 8.5% in March, the quickest 12-month pace since 1981, according to the Labor Department. The Biden administration has pushed U.S. producers to ramp up output and made frequent use of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, or SPR, to help bring supply and demand more into balance, at least in the short term. It announced a withdrawal of 180 million barrels from the SPR on March 31, an average of 1 million barrels per day over 6 months, with barrels expected to hit the market around the start of May. See, I want to break free for details. The administration's latest move has been to allow the use of E15 gasoline to be sold during the summer months. First, let's start with the basics. Regular readers of RBN might recall last year's blog, Come Clean Part 3, all about ethanol production, usage, and programs that incentivize its production. E15 is gasoline blended with between 10.5% and 15% ethanol, an alcohol that is typically manufactured using corn in the U.S. Most gasoline available at the pump today is E10, or gasoline blended with up to 10% ethanol. E15 is approved for use in all vehicles of model year 2001 and newer, as well as flexible fuel vehicles, by the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA. Its use is prohibited in motorcycles, vehicles with heavy-duty engines like school buses and delivery trucks, off-road vehicles like boats and snowmobiles, engines and equipment such as chainsaws and lawnmowers, and conventional vehicles older than model year 2001. Also note that flex-fuel vehicles can run on any blend of gasoline or ethanol up to E85, which is gasoline blended with between 51% and 83% ethanol. But while E15 is fully compatible with most vehicles on the road today, its contributions to pollution have long been an issue. E15 produces more volatile emissions that can form ozone, or smog, than regular blended gasoline, which is especially troublesome in the summer months. Since sunlight drives the reaction that creates smog, the Clean Air Act, or CAA, has banned the sale of E15 from June 1 to September 15. Ground-level ozone can constrict the airways in the lungs, making it harder to breathe and exacerbating several respiratory conditions, including asthma. An attempt by the Trump administration to allow year-round sales of E15 was blocked by the courts, which found the plan in violation of the CAA. The Biden administration said it plans to allow its summertime use this year through an emergency waiver to be issued close to June 1. E15 and E10 fuels are similar in terms of cost and performance, but there are important differences. On the positive side for E15, it's a little less expensive than E10, in part because E15 has a slightly lower energy density. In its announcement April 12, the White House said E15 is up to 10 cents per gallon cheaper than E10, meaning that a driver with a 12-gallon tank could save up to $1.20 at each fill-up. Using the April 19 averages, a fill-up would cost you $49.21 on E10 and $48.12 on E15. On the downside for E15, its fuel efficiency is about 1-2% less than E10. A vehicle's miles per gallon rating from the EPA is based on its efficiency using 100% gasoline, adding ethanol, which has less energy than a comparable amount of gasoline, lowers fuel efficiency. That means that while you will likely save some money at the pump, E15 might not take you as far between fill-ups. Using the example of the 12-gallon fill-up we mentioned before, a car that gets 30 miles per gallon on E10 would be able to travel 360 miles, but a car using E15 would get about 29.4 miles per gallon and travel about 352.8 miles. The strategy of using increased E15 availability to keep a lid on the pump price faces one other significant hurdle: it's not available in a lot of places. E15 is offered at about 2,300 stations, but there are about 150,000 fueling stations nationwide, meaning that E15 is only offered in about 1.5% of locations. E15 sales have been steadily growing in the last few years, topping 814 million gallons, or 53.1 thousand barrels per day, in 2021, up from nearly 504 million gallons, or 32.9 thousand barrels per day, in 2020 and less than 6 million gallons, or 372 BD, in 2015, according to the Renewable Fuels Association. The total finished motor gasoline product supplied reported by the EIA for 2021 was 8.8 million barrels per day, meaning that E15 accounts for less than 1% of the nationwide gasoline pool. But even though the number of stations remains limited, outside of Iowa and Minnesota, which account for about one-third of all stations offering E15 nationwide, it's grown significantly, up from 2,030 in 2020 and just 130 in 2015. Stations can be reluctant to add E15 as a product because of the expenses necessary to retrofit gasoline pumps to handle that blend, especially since it's not permanently approved for year-round use, and some state laws do not support it. With those headwinds to wider adoption, E15 is only available in 30 states. As noted before, E15, and all gasoline blended with ethanol, is less expensive than 100% gasoline because the ethanol portion is less expensive. But the forces pushing energy prices higher this year aren't just limited to crude oil and gasoline. They're also impacting ethanol, which is dependent on several commodities that are also seeing large price increases. In the U.S., the start of any discussion about the cost of ethanol starts with corn, which faces its own set of inflationary pressures this year, with the Chicago Board of Trade's, or POT, May contract settling April 19 at more than $7.99 per bushel, just below a decade-high price reached earlier in the day. We're not farmers, but there appears to be a lot of factors driving that price. On the supply side, U.S. corn growers are expected to plant 89.5 million acres in 2022, down 4% from a year ago, with significant decreases in several producing states: Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Nebraska, North Dakota, and Wisconsin, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, or USDA, said March 31. There is also some concern about the pace of planting, with cool, wet conditions slowing progress in the Midwest. The corn crop was 4% seeded as of April 17, behind the five-year average of 6%, although it is early in the season. There are global supply pressures as well, with a Russian invasion certain to have a significant impact on production in Ukraine, which accounts for about 15% of global corn production. On the demand side, more ethanol will be needed to accompany any increase in E15 sales this summer, which means more corn will be required as well. The USDA's latest World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates report, released April 8, raised U.S. corn demand for ethanol production by 25 million bushels for the 2021-22 season, which ends in August. U.S. ethanol plants have been producing at about 10% above year-ago levels. While the price of corn is the key factor in the price of ethanol, natural gas and fertilizer costs also play important roles. Many ethanol plants rely on natural gas to power their facilities, and U.S. corn growers benefit from lower natural gas prices, at least in comparison to growers elsewhere. But U.S. prices have still increased significantly. The Henry Hub natural gas contract for May settled April 19 at $7.176 per million BTU, just shy of the 14-year high. Corn growers are also facing higher fertilizer costs this year, where supply has been a long-time concern. The National Corn Growers Association says fertilizer costs tend to spike when corn and natural gas prices rise, which is exactly where things stand now. Ethanol producers also face the same challenges that are impacting nearly all parts of the economy, including increased freight and transportation costs, strained supply chain logistics, and higher labor costs. Corn prices could also move higher as well, boosted by competition from food production, demand for feed by meat producers, and an uncertain global production outlook as the Russia-Ukraine war continues. Altogether, the impact of the Biden administration's move to allow E15 sales this summer will likely be negligible due to E15's limited availability around the U.S., increasing costs for corn, and the much larger issue of global crude supply availability. Also, increasing costs for corn and ethanol could erode E15's narrow price advantage over conventional gasoline. Turn, Turn, Turn was written by Pete Seeger in the late 50s, with the lyrics quoting the first eight verses of the third chapter of the biblical book of Ecclesiastes. The line from the song, "A Time to Refrain from Embracing," could be applied to the times we are experiencing today. The song was first released under the title "To Everything There Is a Season" on the Limelighters Folk Matinee album, released in 1962. The song's author Pete Seeger released it later in the same year on his The Bitter and the Sweet album. The Byrds recorded the song in 78 takes at Columbia Studios in Hollywood between September to October 1965, with Terry Melcher producing. It was released as a single in October 1965 and went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. The song prominently features Jim Roger McGuinn's 12-string Rickenbacker guitar. It is the first cut on side one of the Byrds' second studio album of the same name. Personnel on the record were Jim Roger McGuinn on lead 12-string guitar and vocals, Gene Clark on rhythm guitar, tambourine, and vocals, David Crosby on rhythm guitar and vocals, Chris Hillman on bass, and Michael Clark on drums. Turn, Turn, Turn was the Byrds' second studio album and was produced by Terry Melcher. Released in December 1965, the album went to number 17 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. This album would help put the Byrds at the top of the folk rock movement they helped create. The album would be the last to feature full participation of original member Gene Clark, who would leave the band in 1966. The Byrds were an American rock band formed in Los Angeles in 1964. The band went through 11 members until its final dissolution in 1973, with Jim Roger McGuinn being the only original member in its lineup. They were pioneers in the folk rock, and later in the country rock genre. The Byrds released 12 studio albums, 3 live albums, 6 EPs, 47 compilation albums, and 29 singles. The group was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1991. Gene Clark died in 1991, Michael Clark in 1993. McGuinn, Crosby, and Hillman remain active in various solo and band projects to this date.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.